1450 WTKA and online at WTKA.com.
Isn't that so apt, Ira? It's very apt. The musical selection is apt because Michigan fans everywhere, Ohio State fans everywhere, they were crying out for the game to maintain its place. The tradition was upheld, and I think that's thanks in no small part to the great work put in by Michigan's athletic director, David Brandon. Dave Brandon joins us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Sam. I got a lot of nice email last night.
I'm sure you did. So stay with me for a second, Dave, because you came on our show about 2 weeks ago, and you said, hey, you mentioned this possibility. Now, we went through that statement and parsed it, and never once did I hear you say that you prefer for the Michigan-Ohio State game to move. You said it was a possibility. It was looking that way. So I guess my question to you is this. Was it possibly a strategy to maybe toss out a trial balloon, to maybe see what the reaction would be, and knowing that the Big Ten is fan-conscious, is fan-sensitive, to sort of gauge that reaction and use that as part of the criteria for where to place the game? Is that possible?
I felt like fan reaction would be helpful to define the importance of when the game is played. No question about it. But I also, you know, I've run public companies for the last 22 years. I've gotten pretty good at managing expectations. The way to exceed expectations is to manage them. And we were in a situation where it was unclear. It was absolutely unclear what the ultimate decision was going to be. And I wanted to make that known. I wanted to make it known that it was unclear, and the fan reaction was very helpful and very important. There were a lot of people that sent me emails trying to explain to me the importance of this rivalry, which I appreciated. But it was fun. I would get an email from somebody who graduated in 2006 explaining to me the importance of this rivalry. I knew that. Gene Smith knew that at Ohio State. But one of the other, I think, covenants that existed among the athletic directors is none of us were going to get out and politic in public. Mm-hmm. It would have been bad form, and it would have created a lot of tension and pressures, and I think it would have defeated more opportunities than it would have resolved. So there was no way, as much as people wanted me to be out there politicking, I think that would have been a negative. So I'm glad that the way it worked out. I really appreciate the league office for all of the arrows that were shot at Jim Delaney. You need to know that ultimately this doesn't happen unless Jim and his staff are open-minded and cooperative and look at all of the possibilities. And I also really appreciate the cooperation of my colleagues, all the athletic directors. We voted 12-0 yesterday in favor of this structure and this schedule. So we got it done.
Well, let me say, it's certainly all of the participants deserve credit, but us here in Ann Arbor, Southeastern Michigan, I think all, and certainly the emails indicate this, certainly are appreciative of the, no politicking, certainly you weren't politicking, but the way that you handled it very deftly, very smoothly, very shrewdly, helping get the point across that, hey, this game needed to stay where it's been since 1935. I guess looking at the overall breakdown, I'm curious if you could explain to me, What did Michigan concede here? It seems like Michigan won at every turn when it came to the divisional breakdown.
We did. I have to tell you, we're looking at a world where we play Ohio State every year. We play them the last game of the regular season every year. We have a chance to play them if we earn the right and they earn the right. We have a chance to play them twice every once in a while, and wouldn't that be cool? We have a chance to play Ohio State, not frequently, and I didn't need people to do the math for me, but every once in a while when the sun and the moon and the stars line up, we have a chance to play Ohio State again and still for the championship of the conference and the trip to the Rose Bowl. We get to play our little brown jug game. We get to play our annual rivalry game. against Michigan State every year. We have a new rivalry game with Nebraska. We'll be traveling to Lincoln every other year, and we'll be building a completely new rivalry that will be a lot of fun and really exciting for our fans with Nebraska. I don't know how you lay it out any better for Michigan. We are blessed that we came out of this process the way we did. I can tell you there are many other schools that had to sacrifice a lot more and compromise a lot more than I feel like we did. Now, it isn't perfect, I can tell you. We had to compromise, too. There are certain things about this I wish were a little different, but I think on balance, we came out of this really, really well.
David Brandon, our guest here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK. And you mentioned Nebraska. Can we just make that for the 97 other half of the championship?
Yeah, let's roll that in. Why not?
All right. Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if people haven't focused on it, they need to understand that when you buy a ticket for Michigan Stadium in 2011, we'll have our opener against Western Michigan, and then we'll the next week at home have the first night game in the history of Michigan Stadium against Notre Dame. We'll play at home a third week in a row against Eastern. We'll play at home a fourth week in a row against San Diego State. Then we'll play at home a fifth week in a row for the Little Brown Jug against Minnesota. We'll travel to Northwestern and then to Michigan State. We'll have a bye week. We'll play Purdue at home. We'll travel to Iowa and Illinois the next 2 weeks. And then our final two games at the Big House next year will be against Nebraska on November 19th, followed up by the game on the 26th of November against Ohio State. That's an unbelievable football schedule.
Dog, yes, all right.
So here that kind of leads me to the follow-up. How do you win your division? How does the breakdown, how does the tiebreakers, how does all that work?
Well, the overall record, and this was something that we went back and forth on, and there were a lot of different discussions and issues, but what was finally agreed to is that the overall record in the Big Ten in each division will play for the championship. So you will take the team in each division that achieves the best overall Big Ten record, and that will be the representative from that division in the championship game. In the event of a tie, you would immediately go to the head-to-head competition. If you had more than one tie, then you would try to resolve it through the head-to-head competition. In other words, if one team had beaten the other two teams, that would get the job done. And if, in fact, that did not get the job done, then you would default to their actual divisional record. How did they do within the division? And ultimately, if that doesn't get the job done, which I guess statistically there's a possibility that could happen, then I believe the last place you would default to would be the BCS rankings.
Okay, all right. We're talking to Dave Brandon this morning, Michigan Athletic Director here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, online at WTKA.com. Now, Dave, when we look long-term at scheduling, you mentioned next year, first night game in Michigan Stadium history, Notre Dame comes in. About that Notre Dame series, we get a lot of emails, a lot of questions about whether or not in the future this will go 20 years in succession. Is that a firm deal? Is it going to go on hiatus from time to time, and then you guys revisit it? How is the Notre Dame series going to play out in the future?
I've developed a really good working relationship with Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, and I believe we are both approaching this very realistically, and that is that we're going to contract out for several years, probably through the year 2014 or 2015, just to get those schedules set, get those contracts solidified, and make it clear that that rivalry will continue through that period of time. We've made a handshake agreement that we want to continue it for many years beyond that. But I think we both realize that we're going through such a period of massive change with conference expansion, changes in conference structure. There's a high likelihood, as Jim Delaney announced last night, that we'll be moving from an 8-game conference schedule to a 9-game conference schedule. And Jack's aware of that. We just decided, as opposed to formally committing and contracting to those out years, at this particular juncture, we would wait. Mm-hmm. And that gives us some flexibility if we need to be thinking about timing and moving some dates. And if we decided that we wanted to take a hiatus for a couple years and maybe go play a home-and-home with somebody else that would be a big national game, they may have an interest in doing that. We may have an interest in doing that. And if so, we've opened the door for that possibility.
about the effects, how it affects your strategy with scheduling if you go to 9 conference games. Clearly, there are going to be some teams, some years that maybe they have 7 home dates. Is that something that is going to be prohibitive when it comes to scheduling for Michigan, for instance, or is that not going to be a huge concern?
Now, if we go to 9 conference games, so we only have 3 non-conference games to deal with, you understand with 9 conference games, one year you'll have 5 at home, the next year you have 4 at home. And the years that we have 4 at home, we're going to have to make sure we schedule 3 non-conference home games. Mm. That's just going to be, it's a driving principle of ours, unless it's an extremely unusual transition year or there's a very unusual game opportunity. Our standard practice is going to always want to have a minimum of 7 games. Mm. So we're going to have to be really thoughtful in terms of scheduling non-conference games in such a way that in many instances we can't do home and homes with some of the teams that insist upon that, simply because we got to get to that 7th game. That's important to us economically. It's important to our fans.
Dave Brainer, I guess, here for a couple more minutes here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA and online at WTK.com. I want to shift gears just a little bit since we have you on the phone. And, of course, big days coming for you and the facilities in the next couple days. Can you enlighten the fans a little bit on some of the festivities they might be able to witness on Saturday and what time they might want to be in their seat?
You bet. First of all, I want to let everybody know, if you don't know this already, that our friends who are doing such a great job of repairing roads and bridges have decided to tear up about every main artery coming into the stadium area that you can imagine. And so everyone needs to understand that oftentimes the streets and roads that you have been using to get into the stadium, in many cases there's going to be construction and it's going to be slowed down. So give yourself plenty of time. It's going to be a big crowd. The opening game is always logistically a little bit more of a challenge because there's a lot of new people, and so I just can't urge people enough to get here early. Have a great time. The weather's supposed to be it's supposed to be cool, and it's supposed to be a beautiful day, and have a great time, but be in your seats ready to focus on the field by no later than 3:15. Because once the team leaves the field after warm-ups, we're going to have our rededication ceremony, which will be fun and important. We're actually going to clip a ribbon to officially dedicate this new structure. Everyone has read about, and you'll hear a little bit more on Saturday through the video boards, the story of Brock Mueller. And it's going to be a special moment that people are not going to want to miss when Brock leads the team out of the tunnel. We've got some other wonderful things happening. Many people don't understand this, but we were able to lead an effort to have a rule change in the Big Ten that affords us the ability to mic our band. And that may not be a big deal to people who sit close to the band, but some of the people in the bowl who have not had a hard time hearing the band because of where their seats are positioned, we've now been allowed to distribute the sound in such a way that they can enjoy the band as much as anybody else. There's a lot of new and important and fun things planned to make the experience great. We've got our new spaces opening up. We've got our new food provider. We've got more concession stands. We've got more water stations. We've got more restrooms. But that all creates complexity for our staff. We have hundreds and hundreds of staff that have been working and being trained for months getting ready for the big show on Saturday and what comes to follow. So we're excited about it, and we're looking forward to it.
And you mentioned water all over the stadium. Can you talk about the water giveaway on Saturday? So the fans that have been so concerned about not being able to bring in water bottles, that there will be water available?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that became apparent to me is that a lot of people don't know what they don't know about the new stadium. They don't know how many drinking fountains and how many free water stations and how many concession stands are available. And when we announced for the security and for the traffic flow reasons that we were not going to allow bottled water to be brought in the stadium, there were a lot of people who, because they don't know about some of the changes, were really, really concerned. And I don't want people to be concerned, so we decided to kind of do away with that concern in our first game. I called our friends at Absolure, and we worked out a deal where they're going to give people water as they come through the gates. People will receive either a bottle of water or a voucher for a bottle of water. There'll be places they can go and use that voucher. And ultimately, Absopure for the first several thousand fans is going to be giving a commemorative bottle away that actually has a picture of the new stadium. And so they've been great partners. It's been a terrific, fun thing for us to do. They're going to sample their wonderful product with a lot of folks, and we'll have enough water in that stadium to keep not everybody happy, but to keep them floating. I think it'll be fun, and our fans will appreciate it.
Well, last one for you, Dave, and it's an important one. It's one we get a lot. Who's going to be the starter on Saturday at quarterback?
Who's going to start at quarterback?
Yep.
Here's a big announcement. It will not be me. I have retired. My arm isn't that good anymore. No, I think Rich is in a wonderful position of having a lot of choices and some really talented young guys that he can utilize, and I wouldn't be surprised if you'd see more than one. But that's coach's decision. We'll let him handle personnel. We're just going to root hard for our team and be excited about what all is going to happen in the big house on Saturday.
Dave Brannon can be a self-deprecating guy. I found that out already. But let me say, I know I speak for Ira as well, great job with this. It's just a home run all the way around.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it. Go Blue. I'll see you soon.
All right. That was David Brannon, Michigan Athletic Director, joining us here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA. Online at WTKA.com. You missed any part of that, you can go to WTKA.com.